T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, back to Chili's Week in Hockey on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, welcome back. Hour number 2, Alex and Amy with you. Plenty more to get into this next hour of Chili's Week in Hockey, the Hall of Fame ceremony that's taking place out in Toronto. We will also talk a little concussion settlement. And, boy, just reading up on this, a lot of the players feel like they're kind of being, I don't know what any nicer way to say it, they kind of feel like they're being screwed over by the NHL. So we'll get into that. Joey Vitale will join us in just a couple of moments. We'll have Mike Anderson with us for our mic drop segment. But Amy, I want to do the power play report here, sponsored by the Electrical Connections. A little more on Jake Allen that you had. You dug into some numbers, and we were just talking about that at the end of the 8 o'clock hour. That, look, goaltending is such an odd sport, and you can't just go by the numbers, because you have to take into consideration everything else that's going on around them.
Yeah, not only the teams you're playing against, but also how your team is playing in front of you. And it's no secret that the Blues defense has been scrambling this year and has not been strong in front of their goaltenders. Mike Yeo said it, that the zone has been too easy to access. There's too many holes that you've seen defensemen make bad plays, not only in the middle of the ice, but along the boards. You have to get the puck out. I mean, Yeo said in the press conference after the loss against Minnesota, look, just shoot the puck as hard as you can out of your own zone, because even if you hit somebody, at least you're going to hurt somebody. Make it hurt. You need to get the puck out. So obviously that's something that goaltenders are dealing with. And Jake Allen's numbers too, they're a little skewed, because he always has that mid-season slump. Mm-hmm. You know, we see it either in January and February, or that December and January, where you start to see his save percentage dip below 900. But if you look at the numbers surrounding those mid-season slumps, you're looking at save percentages of 951 in March 2 years ago. You're looking at 922. You're looking at, what have we got throughout his career? 914, 964, 930, 927. Over and over again, those save percentages are in the mid-900s, and it's just that mid-season slump. Another aspect that you need to consider when you're looking at the starting goaltender position is that, yeah, the backup can play really well, but that is a relatively zero-pressure position. It's a win-win as a backup, because no one's really expecting you to win.
Right.
If you're a backup and you win, it's like, oh man, this guy's great. If you're the starter, not only are you expected to do your job well and win games, but you're expected to steal games. That's a whole other level of pressure.
Yeah, and it takes a lot of confidence, and it's a lot of a mind game when it comes to the goaltending position. And Chad Johnson even told us that. He said, you know, this isn't so much about skill, which obviously is important, but it's more about your mental capacity and being able to turn off everything else that goes into it. I mean, Glenn Hall or was it Jacques Plante, one of the two, said it best. You know, how would you like it if every time you did something wrong in your job, a red light was going off behind you? And I know these guys get paid millions of dollars and they're star athletes and have such a luxurious life, but let's not forget that these guys are people.
And going back to like Marc-Andre Fleury, you know, he also had Matt Murray.
Yeah.
And Matt Murray
played a bulk of those games.
He did play bulk of those games.
Well, let's not forget the defenseman that played in front of them, you know.
Right.
I mean, you have players like Chris Letang, and, you know, they had star defensemen and star forwards playing in front of them. As Chris Kerber tells us all the time, it's not just about your defenseman. It's about your forward playing defense as well. So, again, it's something to pay close attention to once you get into Wednesday's game against the Chicago Blackhawks, and whether he comes in that game or whether he plays on Friday or Saturday against the Golden Knights or the Sharks, it's going to be a very, very important start for Jake Allen when he gets back into the net. And as always, that's our Power Play Report, brought to you by the Electrical Connection, where quality matters.
This is Chili's Week in Hockey, and the mic is hot.
Mic is hot, as we always love here on Chili's Week in Hockey, as we welcome in Mike Anderson, our extraordinary producer, our extraordinary engineer.
I believe it's producer extraordinaire.
No. Why do you keep putting words in front of the other words when I'm just trying to make it sound normal?
I think that's the fancy way to say it.
I'm not fancy, so don't worry about it.
That's true.
We're classy, not fancy.
In a good way. That's
We're classy.
Classy, not fancy.
We're classy. All right, Mike, what do you got for us tonight, buddy?
All right, I got some brain busters for
you guys.
Oh,
brain busters.
We're gonna do a little trivia, if that's cool.
Oh, this is...
Any more brain busters?
Not good.
All right, so they're going to stem off one of my all-time favorite players, Martin St. Louis, who's getting inducted into the Hall of Fame tonight, as we discussed. First of all, just a strange tidbit about him that you guys might know, but some might not. For only being 5'8", he uses an extraordinarily long stick for a short player. I don't recommend this for young players because your touch will be awful. But Martin St. Louis used a massive stick with a low lie because otherwise, you know, the blade would be sticking up in the air if he just grabbed anyone's long stick. So kind of a funny tidbit about St. Louis.
I'd like to see his... stick and see, like, okay, so the one that St. Louis uses, how does that compare to Colton Parayko? Because Colton Parayko can really go sideboard to sideboard just by stretching his arms out. Sometimes you see that.
Yeah, and now you know.
It just doesn't make sense. I don't understand how he did it, but
he did an awful lot.
He lacked no touch with it, that's for sure. All right, so going back to that 03-04 season when his Tampa Bay Lightning won the Cup the year before the lockout. You guys remember who coached that Tampa Bay Lightning team?
It would be none other than everyone's favorite, John Tortorella, the man who just wants people to hate other people in the NHL again.
You got to add a little more hate to the NHL.
Yeah, let's make hockey hateful again.
I think half that team still hated him.
I think all
I
of
know
that
the
team.
Cavaliers.
Dave Andrechuk, the captain at the time, afterwards when Tortorella left and he retired, said he despised him. Like, they hated playing for him, but that's why they played so well.
Tortorella charged the Calgary Flames locker room.
Yeah.
He tried to run into the locker room.
Maybe that's what we need, more hateful coaches behind the bench. That's how you win hockey games.
Can you imagine being down in, you know, the labyrinth behind the ice rink and where all the locker rooms are, and you see Mike Yeo come running out of the locker room?
Yeah, I remember that game, though. Because
charging Minnesota.
Charging Bruce Boudreau.
Bruce, like, what's going on?
I remember that game, though, because they had the overhead shot, and they saw Tortorella just running into the other side and getting mauled by security guards.
You know what, though? Actually... speaking of Minnesota, more than wanting to see Yeo charge Bruce Boudreau, I'd rather see Boudreau
charge Yeo.
Charge Yeo.
That would be like Don Zimmer charging Pedro Martinez. Just grab him and roll him.
He's soft-spoken, just a nice guy, but you don't want to get him fired
up. Don't get him angry. Don't open the Yeo door.
All right. On the same token, do you guys remember who coached that Calgary team in 03-04?
Was it the Sutter brother?
Does it start with a D?
It's not Daryl, is it? Was it Daryl Sutter?
What do you think?
Yes.
No,
Daryl Sutter.
Was it?
Daryl Sutter.
Who's the other one?
Yeah.
Who's the other one? Not Brian. Who's the other brother?
Gary
Sutter. I didn't like him.
Yep. So
he was the least favorite.
And obviously went on to win cups with the Kings and was recently
another guy who players hated playing for. But we're finding comparisons here, folks. The players that hate their coaches are successful.
Well, the Dallas Stars hated Hitch in 1999. And in fact, those Stars players say we have a cup and we have scars from playing under Hitch that year.
Huh.
I mean, if you can win a championship, but you're still talking about the emotional scars, geez.
That looked too bad. Hey, maybe the Ottawa Senators are going to win the Stanley Cup this year. Right?
They are.
Oh, no, that's our assistant coach. Never mind.
All right. Bringing that Stanley Cup to a local connection.
Okay.
You guys remember which former Blues center was second on the Calgary Flames in playoff points that season?
I'm stealing the show. Do you know before I answer?
You're stealing the show.
Because I know this one.
No, I got Gary and I got the center that began with a D, Daryl.
Go ahead.
Which Blues centerman?
Former Blues center trailed only Jerome
Ginla
on that Calgary Flames team in
one
playoff
of my
scoring.
Favorites, too.
Who am I missing? What are his initials?
CC.
Craig Conroy?
Craig the Leg
Boom.
Conroy.
No way.
Number 22 in your pamphlet, number 2 in your hearts. Because Bobby's number one.
That's
Bobby's
right.
Number one. Boy.
Number 2 in your pamphlet.
What, nobody uses pamphlets anymore?
Have you seen that from Thor Ragnarok where he's like, I tried to start a revolution, but I didn't print enough pamphlets.
Did you just make a reference to a Marvel movie?
I did.
Wow.
Because of Stan Lee.
R.I.P. Stan Lee.
Well, anyway, but he said he didn't print enough pamphlets, so only my mother and her boyfriend showed up, who I hate.
One more, Mikey.
Oh, hey, Mike.
All right. So I was watching that Bruins-Leafs game over the weekend, and they were showing the new... Boston released their jerseys for the outdoor Winter Classic against Chicago at Notre Dame Stadium this year. So, two-parter. This is Chicago's sixth outdoor game.
So dumb.
Can you guys name their record in their previous five outdoor games?
Mm.
Just because it'll make us happy?
Yes.
Hint, hint, hint.
I was going to say.
They are 2-3.
Yep.
1-4.
I was going to say 1-4.
Really?
1-4.
1-4.
Yeah.
Oh, they can keep playing outdoors.
Can they be more creative on their jersey designs for Winter Classics? Like, they suck every year.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do. Chicago's are horrible.
Chicago's...
Well, it's because it's the same teams every year.
I know.
How much variation?
I haven't even seen... I didn't really even see Boston's.
I like them.
Was Boston's pretty awesome?
They're cool, but I mean, they're just not that much different.
You can't compete with what the Blues did. I mean, everyone else is second fiddle.
Final one for you guys on the same note. Can you name which eight NHL teams, we'll see how many you can get, have not competed in an outdoor game?
Arizona.
As Chicago is now playing in their sixth.
Carolina Hurricanes.
Arizona.
Arizona Coyotes.
Minnesota Wild.
No.
Oh, they have?
They were in one.
Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yep.
I'm killing it so far.
Colorado was in one. Dallas Stars have not been in one.
Correct.
Edmonton was in one.
Hold on.
Florida Panthers.
Correct. Three to go.
San Jose.
Should be incredibly obvious.
San Jose.
No, they were in the one against...
Were they?
Was it the Ducks, I believe?
Oh, okay.
Ducks are the...
So Kings. How many were we missing?
Three more. One should be incredibly
the Vegas
obvious.
Vegas Golden Knights. Yeah, that doesn't count.
All right. Two more.
Ooh.
So you got Arizona, Carolina, Florida, Tampa, Dallas, Vegas.
Calgary?
No.
No, they played in one.
And if you give up,
Ottawa.
I can give them to you. No, they were in one last year.
Oh, they were in one last year. That was what
Islanders?
Eugene Melnick was like,
Islanders?
This is a terrible city.
Nashville.
Columbus Blue Jackets.
Well, that's because John Tortorella is there. Nobody likes him.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to play, John.
Those eight teams have just been slapped in the face by the league and forced to watch Chicago six times now. So
you can't play with us, John.
You can't play here.
For a league that's so proud of its parity.
I know. Well, and we're about to talk Hall of Fame with Dan Rosen in our next segment. And this was the line from the Hall of Fame ceremony. Did you see this, Mike? Gary Bettman stood up and said, "For everyone that thinks the Hall of Fame is a popularity contest, I am the best example of why it is not." Surprise, surprise, though, he did not get booed at the Hall of Fame ceremony. We'll talk about the Hall of Fame weekend as former Blue Marty Brodeur. Mike, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. We'll talk about Brodeur. We'll talk about St. Louis and the ceremony and the weekend next with Dan Rosen on KMOX.
Time to visit Section 300 on Chili's Week in Hockey on KMOX.
Welcome back. Alex and Amy with you. We're going to do a little curveball here. No Section 300 tonight because we wanted to talk Hall of Fame ceremony out in Toronto. And Dan Rosen, the senior writer for NHL.com, is out there. And what a class this is. Marty Brodeur, Martin St. Louis, Gary Bettman, Willie O'Ree, and a couple of others going into the 2018 Hockey Hall of Fame. And I want to talk a little bit about it now with Dan. Dan, it's great to talk with you tonight, buddy. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Alex. How you doing, man?
Doing great. So what's this weekend been like? I'm sure you covered these before, but with the names going in this weekend, what's this one been like?
Well, it's been great. It's special. It's always special to cover these weekends. I've done it a number of times now. First one I ever covered was when Scott Stevens and Ron Francis and I believe Mark Messier was in the class. They went into the Hall of Fame in 2007. I you lose track sometimes of who goes in when, right?
Right.
But that was the first one that I covered, and that one was, I mean, it was like the class was unreal. And this one is just awesome. It's, you know, Marty Brodeur, selfishly, I'll say this, selfishly, I was a kid growing up in New Jersey.
Yeah.
I'm 40 years old now. When Marty came up, I was, so 94, I was 16 years old. And, you know, I mean, you watch hockey, you watch Marty.
Right.
You know, like that's the way it was. And you know, then I got to cover a really good portion of his career. And that was special to be able to just be around you know, a great hockey player, is a special thing to witness that career. And now to see him go in the Hall of Fame, it's terrific. Marty St. Louis, you know, I got to cover the, you know, him in Tampa at times, but certainly very closely in New York at the end of his career. Got to know him a little bit, you know, to see him and to be able to tell the story of the struggle that Marty St. Louis went through to get in, and all the backstories and everything that, and the determination that he had. It's a lot of fun to tell those stories and to see a guy like that get honored. Gary Bettman has done so much for the game. Yes, he is my boss at the NHL. But he's done so much for the game in his time as commissioner. I know a lot of people don't like him. They all boo him, but you have to understand the impact he has had on his game is terrific, because without the current economic system, I mean, we may not have teams in some of the markets we have teams, and some of the teams that are thriving may not be there because of that. So that's, you know, excellent. Willie O'Ree.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I mean, historic that Willie O'Ree is getting into the Hall of Fame. Finally, well-deserved honor. Yes, he broke the barrier becoming the first black player in NHL history in 1958. But really, it's what Willie O'Ree has done in the last 23 years that makes him a builder. And, you know, the influence that he has had on so many young kids, telling them to take up hockey, showing them what it's all about, being an influence in their lives, just terrific stuff. And Alexander Yakushev, never got a chance to see him play, but I've heard great things. And Jana Heifer, too, I mean, you know, she was part of all the great runs for the Canadian national team. So it is a terrific Hall of Fame class when you really break it down that way.
Well, you know, Dan, I think it's so funny how they connect, too, specifically with Willie O'Ree and Gary Bettman. I mean, O'Ree became an ambassador because of Gary Bettman, and you talk about what Gary has done for the league and growing it and bringing, what was it, 7 new teams to the National Hockey League. It's funny how those two intertwine with each other and how both go into the Hall of Fame at the same time.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting, just earlier today, and I just wrote about it, the story should be going, so it should be up on NHL.com. I was just witness to history with Willie O'Ree, Grant Fuhr, and Angela James.
Wow.
Who was inducted in 2010. They are the 3 black honored members of the Hockey Hall of Fame once Willie gets in, right?
Yeah.
And they just did a roundtable discussion this afternoon hosted by Anson Carter, whose career benefited from idolizing those 3, you know. And it was the first time that the 3 members, the 3 black honored members of the Hockey Hall of Fame were together in the same room at the same time, doing, you know, talking, sitting down, talking about their careers. And it was a terrific experience to just witness that for 45 minutes. But in that, Willie O'Ree talked about Gary Bettman and how he loved the man. The man gave him the opportunity to do what he does now and loves the fact that they get to go into the Hockey Hall of Fame together, which it's really impactful for Willie O'Ree, and it is for Gary Bettman as well. I don't know if you've heard the story, but when Gary Bettman got a call from Lanny McDonald, who's a Hockey Hall of Fame chairman and also a Hall of Famer himself, when he got a call, Lanny was calling him to tell Gary he was a Hall of Famer. Gary interrupted Lanny before he could tell him that and asked, did Willie get in?
Wow.
And Lanny goes, that's not why we're calling. He goes, I don't care. Did Willie get in? and he said, yes, but that's not why we're calling. but they're intertwined. Without Gary Bettman, the story of Willie O'Ree is probably not told the way it's told today. And yeah. I think that's really special.
Again, we're talking with Dan Rosen, the senior writer for NHL.com. He's covering the Hall of Fame weekend and the Hall of Fame ceremonies out in Toronto. And, you know, Dan, part of the weekend that I think is so special, and you go through it all. I mean, you have the plaque unveiling where the guys get to see their faces that will be in the Hockey Hall of Fame forever. But the one that sticks out to me is what took place on Sunday, and that's the Legends game. That's the Hockey Hall of Fame Legends Classic. And, I mean, you had Marty Brodeur in net. You had Willie O'Ree as a coach. And you had other guys like Grant Fuhr that you just mentioned. And, you know, it's so funny. We talked to Paul Kariya last year about that game. And, you know, that was the first time that he put his equipment back on since retiring from the league. And I heard that there were some pretty good stories from this one that took place on Sunday with Brodeur and his son.
Yeah. Marty Brodeur is the first time Marty put on equipment to play goal since the Winter Classic in St. Louis.
Yeah.
So that was the first time he had done that. He wanted his son, Anthony, who was a goaltender, was a seventh-round pick of the Devils in 2013. He wanted his son, Anthony, there. Anthony's a collegiate goaltender now, I believe, in Canada somewhere, University of Ottawa, I think. And Anthony was there, and he was playing goal. He started the game. Marty came in, gave up two goals, and he said he tweaked his shoulder a little bit. But Lanny McDonald was coaching that team, and Lanny pulled him. And he put the kid back in because the kid was better. So, but think about how special that is, though, for Anthony Brodeur.
Yeah.
Because here he was growing up, in New Jersey, and it was just normal for him to be around the Devils, to be around his dad. It's his dad. It's not Marty Brodeur.
Right.
It's his dad. And he's just normal to be around Ken Danico and Scott Stevens and Scott Niedermeyer. And they were just the guys that his dad hung out with and his dad knew well. And what Anthony Brodeur said yesterday was, it really wasn't until yesterday when he came out, when Marty came out and was introduced and was honored and got his Hall of Fame jacket, it wasn't until then that he realized, look at my dad,
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty darn special. And I believe Anthony was there the night the Devils honored Marty with his jersey retirement number and the statue and all that. But this is the Hall of Fame. It's just different. And Anthony really figured it out yesterday. And I mean, I'm sure he knew. Obviously he knows. But that's when it really hit him that his dad was who he was or who he is. And he got a chance to play goal with him, too, on the same team, which I think was really cool.
Probably the fastest and the best hook that Marty Brodeur has ever had in his career, I would say.
Probably. Oh, yeah. No doubt about it.
Hey, one more, Dan. And I know you have a story out on NHL.com about this as well. But, this struck me the other day. Everyone knows of the illustrious career that Marty St. Louis has had, mostly for winning the Stanley Cup in Tampa Bay and putting up the numbers that he did. But what struck me from your piece is the journey that he had to get there. I mean, yeah. I completely forgot that he was a member of the Calgary Flames. I always thought that he was a Tampa Bay Lightning, but an undrafted free agent who really made a name for himself after being sent to Tampa Bay.
Yeah. Well, you think about how many times people missed on Marty St. Louis.
Yeah.
So he was not drafted. That's one. Nobody signed him after a four-year career at the University of Vermont. No takers at all. He had to go to Cleveland in the International Hockey League. So that's two. Finally, Calgary signs him, but they play him as a fourth liner on a penalty kill. And they really don't use him the way Marty should be used. He never makes it. They then decide that they need the expansion draft in 2000 is coming up, and they need a player under contract that they can expose that they're willing to expose without having to expose a player that they don't want to expose. So they have to pick up the option on St. Louis' contract. They do that. He doesn't get drafted, so that's the third time everybody misses him. Then they're going to buy him out. But they have to do that, you have to waive him, so he's available to everyone. Fourth time everybody misses out on him. His contract gets bought out. He's a free agent. Finally does agree to terms and sign with the Lightning on July 30th, I believe, in 2000.
Yeah.
But then they expose him on the waiver draft in September, which at the time was a thing with that CBA at the time, was a waiver draft. So he was available to every team then. Fifth time everybody missed out on Martin St. Louis. And then he had to go into his coach's office in his rookie year. Well, not his rookie year, but his first year with Tampa. And the coach was Steve Ludzik. And he had to go into the office and say, play me. Because he was playing about 6-7 minutes a night on the fourth line. And finally he started to get played. John Tortorella then took over as coach. And the rest is history. But think about the journey that was for Marty St. Louis. And how many times everybody had a chance to pick him and nobody did.
It's funny how the game transitions, isn't it, Dan? Because at the time that St. Louis was a young player being drafted, nobody wanted to look at those small, fast players. They're always looking for those big power forward guys. And now those are the guys that are the highlight reels in the NHL.
Yeah, I talked to Marty of St. Louis about this. I asked him, I said, do you think it'll be easier for you right now? If you were breaking into the NHL, this is 20 years later.
Yeah.
And you were breaking into the NHL now, would it have been easier for you? And he said, yeah, probably, because of the way the game is played today, yeah. And I said, would easier have been better for you? He goes, I don't know. Would I have had the chip on my shoulder? Because that chip on his shoulder is the reason why he was able to play with the passion and the heart that he did. He went out determined to prove everybody wrong. And that is a big reason. He had the skill and he could skate and all that, but he had to have the fight to do it, and he did. And he's not sure that he would have had it if it was easier for him to get in the league.
Dan, that's awesome, man. Thank you so much for hopping on with us tonight. We really appreciate it. And again, you can check out his work at NHL.com. He's a senior writer. He's got a piece out on Marty St. Louis, also a piece about the whole weekend in Toronto. All right, guys, since we're on the Hall of Fame topic, welcoming in Mike Anderson back in. We talked about this in the first hour. Before we get to Joey Vitale, we have to have this discussion. Best goaltender of all time, Patrick Waugh or Martin Brodeur? I want us all to say it at the same time
to see
if this is going to be a heated argument or if we're all on the same page.
Okay.
Ready? 3, 2, 1.
Patrick Waugh.
Whoa!
What?
Are you guys kidding me?
Are you kidding me?
Okay,
it's
so
it's Martin Brodeur. Yeah.
Okay, so here's where I'm going with Patrick Waugh, though. He's got more Stanley Cups. He won
one. He has one more.
One more. Okay. But
he won over Brodeur. Like, you could say it was that
well,
one.
Well, thank you for clearing my case right there. But here's the part that gets me. He won the Conn Smythe Trophy 3 times. Marty Brodeur never won the Conn Smythe Trophy. And to me, that means Waugh stole the show in the playoffs. He was the reason they won the Stanley Cup in the playoffs. And Brodeur, as amazing as he was, and look, I'm not discounting Marty Brodeur as a goaltender, but he had some pretty elite teams in front of him that helped the case.
So did Waugh.
Yeah, you can't try and convince me that Brodeur's teams were more elite than those stacked Avalanche and the Canadiens team.
Way. And in the 3 years that Brodeur did not win the Conn Smythe, his goals against average for the playoffs were 1.67, 1.61, and 1.65. It doesn't get any better than that. Also, Brodeur holds 13 NHL records for goaltenders and was the youngest goalie to reach 300, 400, 500, and 600 wins.
His career goals against average is 0.3 less than Waugh's, 2.24 to 2.54.
Yeah.
He leads in career shutouts. Let's see. 125 shutouts. Only one other goalie even has 100. 691 wins. Only one other goalie even has 500.
And some people will argue because Waugh played in the tie era, right? Waugh had a lot of ties.
Yeah.
But even if you take Brodeur's 47 shootout wins away, he still has Waugh beat 609 wins to 551.
Well, and tell me, does this matter at all? Because I think it does. He won 2 Stanley Cups on 2 separate teams. He won it on Montreal, and then he won it in Colorado. And he won it in I guess it's 3 different decades. He won it in the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. Part of me, like Brodeur went on that run with New Jersey when they were so good, but Waugh spread it out.
But then he was back there in 2012.
Oh, yeah.
That's almost a spread out.
And he was 40. He was 40 years old, and he led all goaltenders in playoff saves that year when he was 40.
I don't know, man. It's a fun conversation. It's a fun argument to have. I'm surprised because I thought we were all going to go Patrick Waugh.
I thought we were all going to go Brodeur.
Yeah, I thought we were all going to
I'm glad
Marty
we didn't, though. It makes it a lot more interesting.
I'll tell you what. To raise the stakes, I'll take Hasek over Waugh.
No,
really?
Boo.
Oh, yeah.
Mike,
he had
no.
Much less in front of him. And had
I'll take
much
Ryan Miller over all of them.
All y'all. I will take Patrick Waugh over anybody except Martin Brodeur.
Okay.
Although.
Hey, here's the deciding factor. We'll see what Joey V has to say.
Yeah, but I will say this. I'll take Patrick Waugh in a fist fight.
Well.
Over Waugh.
I've never seen Brodeur angry, though, other than on the ice.
Yeah, ask Sean Avery. He's seen him angry.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Well, we'll find out who Joey V thinks. Thanks, Mike. Next on Chili's Week in Hockey.
Now, more of Chili's Week in Hockey on your voice of the St. Louis Blues, KMOX.
Man, I don't know, guys. I think I'm going to have to do more research on this because this I want to try and convince both of you that I think Waugh's better.
And I think we need to bring this up because Mike Anderson threw in the name of Dominik Hasek. And our buddy Luke
of Section 300,
of Section 300, and said he'd pick Hasek.
Wow. Well, let's figure out who our favorite thinks is better. How do you introduce him, Amy? Let's let you introduce him.
Oh well, the illustrious, the legendary, the one and only
Joey V. Joey, I feel like we introduce you like we're members of the Jersey Shore now every time. So that's just the way we do it.
Hey, I will only answer to the great Joey Talley.
I like the illustrious. The illustrious Joey V is where it's at. Actually, you sound like a magician, so maybe we shouldn't do that.
Yeah, I don't like illustrious because I don't know what it means. So
that's my life when I work with Amy. Hey, Joey, before we talk really why we brought you on the show tonight, we just had this conversation, Marty Brodeur going into the Hall of Fame, and I just looked this up. You obviously played against Marty in your career. Who's a better goaltender all time? Who is the better goaltender, Marty Brodeur or Patrick Waugh?
Oh, I mean, that's the debate. For goalies, yeah. I think. I mean, that's the one that's been going around for a long time. Jesus, it could go either way. I think, Marty, with 3 Stanley Cups?
Yeah.
What did Patrick have?
4.
4?
Including one over Marty.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't think you can go with a team stat like that. Because if you go team stat, 4 is obviously better than 3. But I think kind of like pitching, you know, you can't throw like World Series championships in the mix because that is a team kind of accolade. I'm going to go with Martin Brodeur just because I've shot against him and I feel more connected to him. I liked his off-ice approach a little bit better as well. I think Patrick could come off a little cocky at times, and Martin Brodeur was just a classic hockey demeanor.
Yeah, nobody really did it better, though, stacking those pads than Marty Brodeur. If you never tried to emulate Marty Brodeur stacking the pads playing hockey, you weren't a hockey fan, plain and simple.
Yeah, and he was the same as Blue for a little while.
That's true.
I'm giving it to Martin.
I was the odd one out, then I went Patrick Waugh, so I guess I'll have to.
I'm still going to have to find a way to
argue with everybody on that one. All right, so we brought Joey Vitale on with us tonight, not only because we love having him on here on Chili's Week in Hockey, but, you know, it's an interesting situation that happened today, Joey. The NHL and the NHL Players Association settled on this concussion lawsuit that's been going on for numerous years now, and you obviously went through concussions in your career. You retired early because of the concussions that took over. Just your initial thoughts of this concussion settlement, because what a lot of people don't understand is it really feels like these players are kind of getting screwed over from the owners.
I think the NHL owners definitely won this one. You know, and you can make the argument for a lot of reasons, but I mean, I think the way they broke it down, the way I read it was all the players involved looking at about $22,000, which is, I mean, it seems like peanuts for what these guys have gone through, what they're going to continue to go through for the bills that will stack up and everything involved. So it doesn't seem like the players did very well in this. And then you compare it to the other sport with the concussion protocol, which is the NFL, what their settlement was compared to the NHL. It definitely seems like the players got the short end of the stick here.
You know what bothers me about this story, too, is that the NHL's approach seems a little seedy. Charles Zimmerman, who was the lead lawyer for the retired hockey players, said the NHL's philosophy was scorched earth and deny every issue. He said he basically bet on the fact that these Canadian hockey players weren't going to want to sue or in any way stain the name of the sport. And that just seems like that's kind of a backhanded move that's not going to show any support for the players or their health.
Yeah, you know, I think that I read that as well, Amy, and it's just, I mean, there's so much that has been said, and I mean, you can make that argument too. Some people are saying that, you know, there is that side for sure. I mean, the NHL and the NFL, I'm not a National Football League player, but, you know, so I hate to make this argument, but from what I've kind of gathered from people who've interviewed different players, there's that side that when you're done with the NFL, that it's kind of you're done with the sport, you're ready to move on with your life. But something about hockey players, there is that side where they do love that game and they do want to be a part of that game. And you know, if someone came to me and said, Joe, hey, would you mind joining this lawsuit and suing the league and doing a lot of stuff? And no one did. But if they were, I'm telling you right now, I would be pulled because I'm like, hey, you know, one side, you know, I did get hurt. But at the same time, this game has given me a lot of wonderful things and a great life. And so it's hard to slap that in the face when they do such good things for you, too. So, I mean, man, there's so many arguments. There's so many debates going around right now about this whole thing. It's just kind of it's all over the map.
Yeah, it really is. And, Joey, you know, I'm curious on this side of it, too, because being a former player and somebody who has gone through this multiple times, you know, that's got to be difficult because in this lawsuit, you know, the NHL isn't providing the help post-retirement. Like they're helping if something goes wrong, but you know, in the NFL settlement, they made the agreement that, you know, after players retired, it covers them throughout their life. So if dementia comes up or if something else kicks in, you know, they have a settlement that the NFL is a part of. And as an NHL player, that's got to be tough knowing that that's not there for you after you gave everything you had to the league.
Well, it's especially scary because there's a head injury and they don't know what the extent of this head injury is short term and long term. So like you said, Alex, so right now, like, you know, let's say take player A is okay the next 5 to 10 years. But what happens if in their 50s and 60s, dementia or, you know, some of the things starts to kind of set in where it's a post concussion effect of his playing career. And then they're not covered up to that point. And that's what the NFL did a good job of. But the NHL just has really missed the boat on, because there's certain things that are short term or you'll see, and then long term you'll see. But right now we don't know really the effects and to the degree player to player. So it's a very, very difficult situation and a hard situation for a lot of players to be dealing with. And, you know, the way the league's kind of going about it too, from a, you know, publicity standpoint, you know, is it a coincidence that it was announced? I mean, what do you guys think? I mean, that it was announced the same day of the Hall of Fame announcement, which it's almost like this is something they just want to kind of sweep under the rug, and hopefully the Hall of Fame takes precedent over this whole announcement too. I don't know.
I thought that was a huge point too, taking into consideration that this comes out the day that Gary Bettman goes into the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and like Marty Brodeur, right. You know, all those guys, like everyone's going to be talking about Marty Brodeur and Gary Bettman. I mean, all these guys are just going to go in the Hall of Fame now, and then this whole concussion thing just going to get
sweeping under the rug. Exactly.
Opinion, I don't know.
No, I agree 100%.
Yeah, it seems a little seamy to me. So, okay, you know, I feel like the general consensus is that the NHL in this situation has failed its players. But regardless of the NHL, Joey, as a player, is this ever something that during your career you would talk about with your teammates, whether it was in the locker room or you're in a car ride home from the rink? Did you ever talk about maybe what some of these injuries were doing to your bodies?
We never did until my last year, which I believe was 2015. And this was when all this stuff kind of really started coming about. It's about 3 or 4 years ago. Up to this point, nothing really was said about it. But I remember the beginning of my 2015 season, they had this whole video on head trauma and head injuries. And basically, after this 30-minute video that every team was mandatory, you had to watch, and every player had to sign this contract or this this thing saying, hey, I watched the video and I signed it. And you cannot play a game until you watch this video and you sign this contract.
Wow.
And that's basically what it said. And I remember, I think it was Keith Yan, we walked out of the meeting, and he basically said, that basically means that if you get a head injury, you cannot sue the league because you watched this video and signed this contract. So, I mean, up to that point, there was nothing. And I think that's, to this day, how the protocol has been handled in the league. I haven't heard any differently.
Unreal. You guys should have done the Michael Scott way and just signed a Donald Duck.
looking back, that would have been crazy.
Mickey Mouse has watched the video and is ready to play in a hockey game.
Hey, that was an unbelievable reference. Your references are out of control.
If there's one thing that I'm good at, it's The Office references, because I've watched it hundreds of times.
They can be applied in any
they really can. And I'm disappointed that I can't use That's What She Said more on the radio. But I guess it's a good thing that I don't use it, you know? It's just the way it goes. Hey, Joey, man, always appreciate the time. Thank you so much for hopping on, and we'll see you at the rink tomorrow.
All right, Amy. Alex, have a great night. Good luck with the rest of the show. We'll catch you tomorrow.
There you go. Joey Vitale, one of our favorites, and really the best drop that comes in Chili's Week in Hockey.
You want a Winnipeg Jets?
It's What's Up With That next.
Now, What's Up With That on Chili's Week in Hockey. What's up with on that? On KMOX. What's up with that?
What's up with that? What's up with that? What's up?
Alex Ferrario, since 2010, 2011, no one has had more points than Sidney Crosby, but who is number two?
Patrick Laine?
Claude Giroux.
Yeah.
He is behind, he's only 2 points behind Sidney Crosby since the 2010-2011 season.
I don't really know why I said Patrick Laine. That was dumb.
Well, yes, because he's only been in the league a couple of years. But, I mean, Giroux, above Kane, above Ovechkin. What's up with Claude Giroux secretly having the best career ever?
Well, and what's up with Claude Giroux and his secret identity as Gritty with the Philadelphia Flyers? Because Did you see this? Mike Anderson pointed this out to me. Gritty had 69,000 write-in votes to be Pennsylvania governor.
Wait. Gritty was in the gubernatorial race. Gubernatorial.
The gubernatorial race with that orange beard.
That is 69,000
votes.
Nice.
All right, that's going to do it for us tonight on Chili's Week in Hockey. Don't forget, you can download every episode of Chili's Week in Hockey. If you missed it, you just look it up on iTunes or the Google Play Store. Chili's Week in Hockey. Blues, Wednesday night against the Blackhawks. Friday against the Golden Knights. Saturday against the Sharks. Mike, always appreciate the help, buddy. Amy, great stuff.
It's a great day to be a Blues fan.
We'll talk to you Wednesday. We'll talk to you next Monday or next Tuesday here on KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.